You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Many people hold political views that they share with others from time to time. Rena Katz is a visual and sound artist based in Toronto, and her political views have resulted in a firestorm. Andy Lehrer from Independent Jewish Voices in Toronto says that her rights as an artist to free expression have been attacked, and she has been slandered as a warning to others. Rena Katz joins us by phone from Toronto. Hello, Rena.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Let's just go back to the beginning then. What was the installation that the Koffler Gallery commissioned from you?
It was a four-part sort of project that was an on-site installation in a Toronto neighborhood called Kensington Market, which is an extremely diverse neighborhood that actually began as the Jewish market, where immigrants from Eastern Europe, mostly Jewish and very working class, would sell their wares at the turn of the century. There are four components to the project. One of them was myself building construction scaffolding outside of significant buildings. Another was Yiddish compositions I've written based on the music of the Barry Sisters from the 1950s. A third was a poster series that reflected all the components of the project. And the fourth was a community and participatory intergenerational mahjong game, Jewish mahjong, between seniors from a Jewish residence here in Toronto and youth from an inner city school that is located in the market.
And this was commissioned by the Koffler Center. What is the Koffler Center exactly?
The Koffler Center for the Arts is an art center. It includes an art gallery, which is called the Koffler Gallery, and that's the gallery that commissioned the work. It also includes things like classes in various arts, including dance and drama for youth, as well as music. And it has a literary component that hosts Jewish Book Awards every year.
And then why did they withdraw their support?
Well, what they told me at the time, and it's now been 3 weeks since that fateful meeting we had, Kim Simon, the curator, independent curator of the project, and myself were called to an emergency meeting on Friday, May 8th, in which Lori Starr, the executive director of the Koffler Center, and Mona Phillip, the curator of the Koffler Gallery, told us that the project would remain funded, but they were pulling their name from all the print and digital material henceforth. And the reason they gave was my public stand against Israel, which they formulated as being my support of the extinction of the state of Israel, which is completely untrue, defamation and slander. They were misinterpreting a group that I am a part of called Israeli Apartheid Week, which is a group centered on university campuses now across the world that looks at justice for Palestinians, different methods and strategies for achieving justice, including boycott, divestment, and sanction.
And did the Koffler Center give you an opportunity to explain your position?
No. Throughout this process, I've repeatedly asked for meetings with their board of directors, as well as even informal conversations with Mona and Lori to explain what my actual political views are. This has been the fact that they chose to make this a public situation rather than behind closed doors has really ended up reflecting badly on them, because there's been a massive outcry in both the arts and activist communities. Koffler ended up sending a statement out to galleries across North America and their entire membership list half an hour after that meeting ended. So clearly they had this planned in the works, and not once did Mona Phillip, who I'd been working with daily for over a year, even offhandedly mention to me that anything was going on. She had the opportunity to call me and informally ask or off the record, but she chose instead to just follow the directives of Lori Starr and keep everything under the covers until they revealed it that Friday morning to Kim and I. So they really kept us in the silence and powerless to any decisions they were going to make around this issue.
And you mentioned the Israel Apartheid Week. What was your involvement exactly in organizing Israel Apartheid Week?
Well, I'm a member of CAIA, the Coalition Against Israeli Apartheid, which is sort of the parent group to Students Against Israeli Apartheid. I've been involved in Israeli Apartheid Week in many different ways over the year, more of a sidelines organizer. This past year, I was the police liaison for one of their opening events, and certainly I'm a big supporter of Israeli Apartheid Week, and I'm proud to be one. I've never hid it. It's never been something I'm ashamed of. I should also mention for your listeners that 13 months before the commission was set to open, Kim and I let the Koffler know about my politics. We let them know that I've done many projects around Palestine and using art as a tool to open discourse. So they were very aware of who I am. They could have done their Google search 13 months ago, and for some reason they chose to do it 3 weeks before the show opened.
You mentioned your political beliefs as art, as a tool to open discourse. Can you get into a little bit more detail on that?
For the most part, being an artist that's centered around a sound and performance practice, I'm very interested in what listening means, especially in terms of social change. So my practice involves sharing of multiple kinds of truths, specifically around Israel-Palestine. Everything from the names of villages and towns in both Arabic and Hebrew to the way that the year 1948 gets narrated by Palestinian community versus the Zionist community. And I feel that because art can be such an expansive tool, it doesn't have to insist on any one truth. So often my practice will involve sharing of stories through either audio electronics or through live performance and having those interweave with each other, resulting in a kind of multiple truths, or multiplicity, as I like to call it. And my political work is centered around that as well. You know, I participate in many kinds of dialogues, many kinds of protests, many kinds of public texts that we release to discuss the fact that the Jewish community is diverse, and many of us oppose Israel's actions against Palestinians.
And as a Jew, how has that informed your work?
Well, I say in our joint statement that Kim and I sent out when this all happened that it's quite ironic for me because I actually come from a family with quite a few Holocaust survivors. I grew up hearing stories of resistance and survival in Eastern Europe. I've played the role in my family of learning that culture. I took it upon myself to learn Yiddish and to study klezmer music when I was a teenager. And indeed, I went back to Poland 2 years ago to see where my grandparents are from. So that, as well as my spiritual practice as a Jew, has deeply informed my art practice. And I think in many ways that's why Koffler was interested in commissioning me in the first place. But I guess that I crossed their line in the sand, and unfortunately, we've now resulted in a situation where they've created an impossibility for the show to continue, because although they have told us that they will continue to fund the project, many of the Jewish partners that made the project possible, namely Baycrest Center for Geriatric Care, have pulled out of the project. So that's not only stalled it, it's actually made the entire concept of the piece almost impossible to execute. So right now we're basically in legal negotiations with them, trying to figure out how to make this happen in a good time for Kim and I, with the integrity of the original piece, but also with the knowledge and awareness that their choices have dramatically prevented the piece from being able to move forward. The other thing, as I mentioned earlier, is the fact that they went public with it meant that they received a huge amount of condemnation from the arts community. So there's now a very hostile relationship that I don't think actually ever had to be there if they had made different choices around how to communicate with Kim and I what their concerns were.
You mentioned the arts community and the hostile reaction. How has that reaction articulated itself?
Well, in a variety of ways. Not 5 minutes after they sent out their statement to the entire country, Kim Simon, who works as a curator for another gallery here in Toronto called TPW, was receiving emails from all over Canada saying, we just got this statement. What is going on with the show that you're curating? We got hundreds of emails in the first, 3 to 5 days saying, what can we do? People were writing letters to Koffler. Some artists have chosen to boycott Koffler. There's also a move to ask the arts councils. In Canada, we have quite a lot of funding from municipal, provincial, and national art councils, to ask the art councils why they're funding Koffler, to make an inquiry into their discrimination against me on the basis of political affiliation. And the Toronto Municipal Arts Council, Toronto Arts Council, has an explicit anti-discrimination policy that all of the galleries it funds have to sign. And in that anti-discrimination policy, it does list political association and political affiliation as something those galleries can't discriminate on the basis against. Now, what they're claiming is that the State of Israel and the support of the State of Israel is a core Jewish value. And this becomes more of a cultural or an ethnic conversation where we're sort of pitting these ideas against each other because, of course, for me, a core Jewish value is the fight for justice and the ability to criticize Israel, especially because it does represent us as Jews. So we're getting into some very political and very nuanced, almost philosophical conversations in the public sphere now. And it's hard. It's a really difficult struggle to navigate. I'm also feeling, as an activist, that this sort of internal fighting is eclipsing the issue of Palestine. And once again, Palestinian voices are having to take a back seat to this Jewish Zionist or anti-Zionist discourse that's happening in the public sphere. So that's a long answer to your question, but there's been numerous artists as well pulling out of Koffler's fundraisers, trying to sort of act with their feet and actively dissociate from Koffler in the same way they've dissociated from me. Which has been really inspiring for Kim and I, just to feel that level of support. And indeed, Koffler has, in reaction, posted things on its website, such as, like, frequently asked questions about this issue, and all of which they answer that they have every right to do this, and it's a core Jewish value to support the State of Israel. So I'm not sure how it will turn out. I really do hope there's some kind of dialogue that can begin to happen between myself and Koffler. It seems like that's happening more in the public sphere, and hopefully as the dust settles, we can start having a real conversation.
Where do things stand with your installation? Is it possible to see that anywhere?
Well, it's on hold. It's because it was a site-specific piece, and it took a year to plan, everything from city permits to building workshops with these students and seniors, to doing the research necessary to find businesses that were open to participating, doing the vocal rehearsals, finding a vocal coach, everything. It's just a very time-consuming work. We're hoping to execute it in the future. We're hoping that our negotiations will be quick, that there won't be too much stalling, but we so far haven't heard back from Koffler on the proposal that we put on the table.
Thanks very much for joining us, Rena.
Thank you so much for your interest, Sean.
We've been speaking with Rena Katz. She's a visual and sound artist based in Toronto. For more information about this issue, you can visit eachhand.org. And for more information about Rena, visit her personal website at radioaddress.ca.